You are listening to WMIE, today's Modern Worship, 91.5 FM.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh Radio program. And today is the day we kiss April goodbye. That means May starts tomorrow, and that is one of my favorite months. That's my birthday month. There's lots of birthdays. Lots of great people were born in the month of May. A lot of people that I know and love. And so we always have lots to celebrate. Unfortunately, I probably also gain a lot of weight during the month of May because there are so many birthday cakes that need to be eaten. But anyway, we'll pace ourselves and do the best we can. I want to say thank you today to the folks at Treasure Your Landscape. Dan and Treasure and their team have been a licensed and insured family business based in Brevard County. They've got over 20 years of experience in the landscaping business, providing everything you need to make your outdoor experience what you want it to be. So if you want to mow your yard less and want artificial turf, they can do that. If you're like me and you like to putt, you could have them install a putting green. They provide landscaping services. They do paver installations. They've done that for me. They install and manage drains and downspouts. They've done that for us at our church. Their goal is to create your dream landscape, whether it is landscape lighting, water features, or landscape repair. They've done that for me. They go all throughout Brevard County. They can handle everything from the design to the planning to the maintenance, and they can transform your outdoor area into a space your family will treasure. They also have in their portfolio of businesses Space Coast Nursery, 3880 North Courtney Parkway. Monday through Friday, they're open 8 to 5, Saturday 8 to 1. So Treasure Your Landscape can be reached at 321-749-1432. Space Coast Nursery, 321-452-5565. And I know you will treasure the quality of their work. They do a fantastic job. So today we are going to go to the longest chapter in the Bible. It is Psalm 119. In case you are wondering, there are only 176 verses in Psalm 119. We are not going to talk about all 176 verses. In fact, there are a lot of things that are talked about in Psalm 119 that we could be here a long, long time, but we're not going to do all of that. So I'm going to start reading in Psalm 119, and I'll read verses 65 through 72. It's broken up. This psalm is broken up into different segments according to the Hebrew alphabet. And so there's several verses, so if you were going to memorize it, you could do it a little bit easier memorizing it a section at a time. Verse number 65 of Psalm 119 says, "You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. So there's a lot of things that we can talk about. Maybe we'll get through the ones that I want to highlight today. Maybe we won't. But here in verse number 72, it says that the law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold or silver. The things that God wants to teach us about who he is, about what his expectations are, what his commandments are, his statutes, the things that he wants to teach us, they're more valuable than money. So you might look and say, I don't see how that could possibly be. How could anything be more valuable than money? Well, time is more valuable than money. Health is more valuable than money. Food is more valuable than money. People think that their clothes and their car, that those are more valuable than money. And I can tell you that your relationship with God is more valuable than money as well. You can't put a price tag on the relationship that changed your destination from eternal separation from God to eternally worshiping God. That's huge. You can't put a price tag on the favor of God. And I'm the person at one point in my life, I was very young. I had a job that was causing me to work. I wasn't even 16 yet, but back in those days, you could work at this truck stop. I had a job as a dishwasher at 15 and a half, and I worked every Saturday and Sunday, and I made a dollar and some change an hour. It was less than $2 an hour. And I did it for 2 weeks. And I said, my relationship with God is worth more than, so I think I could only work like 5 or 6 hours at a stretch back then. So 12, my relationship with God was worth more than $20 a week. And it might have been more like $15 a week. And I said, you know what? My relationship with God is more important. And so I quit the job because my relationship with God was more important. In verse number 66, there is a premise here. It says, teach me, and this is a prayer for God to do the teaching again. And we see that over and over in God's word that he really is longing to be that instructor in our life. You can see in verse 119 or Psalm 119, verse 102, I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me, how God wants to teach us. So one of the things that we see here in verse number 66 is that God wants to teach us good judgment. Good judgment. I don't know if you've ever been a bystander and watched people who made bad decisions. I used to have a job where I worked in a mall, and the shoe store that I managed, it was a Florsheim shoe store, was the last one that I managed. And we lost our lease in the mall, but up in till that point in time, I would have all of my work done, all my stock done, all my paperwork, everything on display. I was just waiting for customers to come in, and I would stand and I would watch people in the mall. I used to, you know, that this was back in the heyday of malls, when, you know, that was the cool place to go. And I would watch parents pull up and drop their kids off, their teenagers off at the front door of the mall. And I would watch their teenagers walk, and they would go out the back door of the mall. Their parents thought they were in the mall the entire time, And they weren't. They were meeting up with other people, and they were going off and doing other things. And their parents thought that they were on the mall all the time. And I watched people make some good decisions, and I made watch people make bad decisions, because God wants to teach us how to make good judgments. What are you going to use as the foundation for making decisions in your life? God gave specific instruction to the judges over Israel, and he said, look, you can't be making judgments based on bribes. You cannot be making judgments that are more biased towards the rich or to the poor. You are supposed to make judgments in accordance with the word of God, irrespective of who the person is, whether they are famous or infamous, whether they are anonymous, that whether they're tall or short, rich or poor. You are not supposed to be making your judgments based on superficial things. You're not supposed to be making judgments if they're a friend or an enemy. You're supposed to be making judgments that reflect the nature of God. And so one of the best things that a person can learn is not necessarily what to think, but to be taught how to think. So there are countries around the world where their population is taught what to think. So it's all about rote memorization. It's about, okay, if the equation looks like this, this is the answer. And if you are just taught what to think without being taught how to make a decision, you're going to be in a world of hurt, because the life that we live is got variations. It's got different looks, different appearances. So not so much anymore, but back in the day when cash was used in just about every transaction, you could see people struggling as a cashier when they were having to make change. And if you tried to make their job easier for them by giving them something other than just a rounded denomination, say your bill was $19.13, and so you gave them $20.13, they would look at you and it's like, why did you give me the 13 cents? And you'd have to say, well, that means that now you can give me a dollar back instead of having to give me 87 cents worth of change. But what happened was, They became so accustomed to just the machine telling them how much change that they were supposed to give back that they forgot how to do simple math. We have reached the stage in our society now where there is so much technology that oftentimes we don't know how to make a good, sound decision that has a spiritual foundation, has a spiritual purpose and a spiritual ramification. So I had a person that told me one time, they were an official, this was an official communication, and they said, if you put up a sign that says such and such, we're going to be all good here. And I said, but that's not going to be the reality. We're going to use that for something different than that. And they said, if you put up a sign that says this is all you're going to use it for, then we're all good here. And you might be tempted at that point in time to say, well, you know, it that makes life easier for them, makes life easier for us, and blah, 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 blah. But they knew I was a pastor. And so my response to them was this: you might be okay with that, but I wouldn't be okay with that, because my boss wouldn't be okay with that, and he would know that I was lying. And so we will make the changes that you want us to make, but we are not going to deal with you in a false manner. And I don't know how many people would have told that person, you know, what he wanted them to say, but I wanted to be able to lead that person to Jesus, and I wanted them to know that we wanted to do things the right way, and that I would tell them the truth no matter whether it was more costly for me or not. So God, teach us good judgment. In America, we need to learn good judgment again. It goes on and says, teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. Verse 68 again says, teach me your statutes again. And so we need to be making decisions from an informed basis. So this is an election year, and many people will be making their decisions from what other people tell them. Most of the time, people have chosen their sources, and I can tell you, because I am a bit of a news junkie, that there have been times where I've been lied to by sources on both sides of the political fence. I solved the problem. I stopped watching the news. Didn't mean I stayed uninformed. It just meant that I was taking the lying out of the equation, and I would go gather the facts myself so that I could make a good judgment. Well, as believers, we need to make sure that we're making our decision because of the things that we know the Word of God says. And like you've heard me talk before, culture does not equate with the Word of God. The Word of God surpasses culture. So I'm from the middle part of the country. My culture there does not make it a godly culture. The fact that God sits on the throne of your life and my life, that's what makes it a good culture. In verse number 71, there is something we haven't talked about in our journey through the things that God wants to teach us yet, and that says this: it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. Unfortunately for us, one of the ways that we learn is through the school of hard knocks. A lot of times, failure and the consequences thereof teach us valuable, valuable lessons. And here the psalmist writes that not that they enjoyed going through the affliction, but the result of it was that they had a greater understanding of the statutes and the commandments of God. And so at the end of the day, they were thankful that they knew more at the end of the journey than they did at the beginning of the journey. Don't continue to make the same mistake over and over again. I don't know who it was that said this. This is a barnyard statement, and that is this: there is nothing to be learned from the second kick of a mule. If you didn't learn the first time a mule kicked you that you didn't want to be kicked by a mule, chances are you're not going to learn anything the second time that mule kicks you. You don't want to be making the same mistake over and over and over again. Learn from it. Learn from it. Let's move on down. We got 7 minutes here. Psalm 119, verse number 24. I'll begin reading in verse number 121. I have done justice and righteousness. Do not leave me to my oppressors. Be surety for your servant for good. Do not let the proud oppress me. My eyes fail from seeking your salvation and your righteous word. Deal with your servant according to your mercy and teach me your statutes. So the point I want to draw to this verse is this, that when we are teaching, and here, again, this is God doing the teaching, but it is a good example for us. We need to teach with mercy. So mercy tends to be my primary gifting. It used to be way overdeveloped to the ministry of exhortation. After 31 years plus years of pastoring, I have learned that sometimes you need to teach somebody from an attitude of mercy to prevent them from making the same mistake over again. And so when we are starting out the journey and we are teaching someone, you need to have the mercy of God. So this is what I have developed as a rule in my life. And that is, if I'm going to have to speak correction to someone, if I'm going to have to teach them something, and knowing how much humanity does not like correction, and knowing how much humanity does not like confrontation, and I don't enjoy confrontation. I can do it, but not afraid to do it, but don't enjoy doing it. So before I move into that season, I go into my prayer closet and say, God, I need you to silence my flesh. God, I as we undertake this mission of teaching through correction, God, I want to do this in a spirit of love. I don't want this to be deemed an attack. I really need you to reign supreme during this process. I've met some people in my life, and I've made this statement that their next act of mercy would be their first act of mercy. I've known a lot of people who really don't exude mercy. They're pretty hard-nosed, tough, calloused, and will rip you to shreds in a heartbeat. And anytime I encounter a person like that, I'm always thankful for the mercy of God. And I pray that you, if you're in a position where you're teaching, that you will practice mercy. Psalm 119, verse 135, has this to say. Let me read verse 132 through verse 136. Look upon me and be merciful to me, as your custom is toward those who love your name. Direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. Redeem me from the oppression of man, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. Rivers of water run down from my eyes, because men do not keep your law. So the next thing that I wanted to mention here, we've been talking about teaching good judgment and knowledge, taught by God, taught with mercy, or teaching with mercy. And now I want to share with you that we need to teach with the presence of God. Here in verse 135, it says, make your face shine upon your servant and teach me your statutes. So your countenance should reflect the nature of God when you're teaching. One of the biggest challenges of my life was when, a person that I loved dearly was enlisting in the military, and I knew what the military boot camp experience was like. And they did well. They thrived in it. But it's not exactly the presence of God. They'll make you cry out for the presence of God, but it's a pretty unpleasant experience when you are being broken down so that they can build you up the way that they want to build you up. I prefer teaching with the anointing of God. I prefer the presence of God where God gives us insight to what needs to be said at the moment. And so I pray that if you are called by God to be a teacher, whether it's in Sunday school or a school setting or teaching an apprentice or teaching a new employee, that you would do it with mercy. You'll do it with the presence of God. And verse number 171, we get pretty close to the end of this Psalm 119 here. Verse 169 says, "Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your word. My lips shall utter praise for you. Teach me your statutes." And so this last truth we're going to share from Psalm 119 is that we not only need to teach how to make good decisions and good judgment, not only taught by God, taught with mercy, teaching with the presence of God, but we also need to realize that the end result of the lesson should be that people praise God. That they praise God. So when God teaches you something new, praise Him. When you hear something from the Word that applies to your life in a very real way that you've never heard or seen before, give Him the praise. When a person is used by God to share something with, say, "God, thank you for bringing that person into my life." Praise is not just something that should be reserved for the song service on Sunday morning before the preaching takes place. Praise should be something that is offered up to God every time we have a breakthrough in knowledge and understanding and application. Right now, I bet if I asked you, how many of you had a favorite teacher at some point in time in your education journey, you could name one. And you should be thankful for them. I pray that as you go to church, that when your pastor shares something from the throne room of heaven, that it'll cause you to praise God for sharing the truths of heaven with the saints here on earth because of His great mercy. God, teach us to make good decisions. Thank you for being our instructor. And God, just as you teach with mercy and you teach with your anointing, the anointing of your presence, may we do so as well. And may your instruction result in praise to your holy name. See you next time.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is a friendly, knowledgeable, active, and accessible real estate agent here in Brevard County. Keller Williams is known for real estate services all across the world, and Whalen specializes in helping buyers purchase the right place to call home, as well as helping sellers market and negotiate the sale of their single-family home, condo, vacant land, or business. Whalen Duff can be reached at 321-536-5973 or visit whalenduff.kw.com. Realty.com. Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is your local realtor who provides all you need and the time you deserve to get your real estate purchased or sold.